Yes, Walter, though some people might say those involved in the campaign, that you and other members of the government,
this is the Deputy Prime Minister in Ireland, tarnished.
Is this because you're reluctant to alienate potential voters?
Speak on the referendum.
No, the Labour Party has been committed to marriage equality now for a very long period of time. In fact, way back when civil partnership was introduced, I spoke in the Dáil about how I wanted to see marriage equality being offered to all citizens in Ireland. In a republic, every citizen, including people who are gay or lesbian, should be treated the same before the law. And this referendum is about equality. We've had a series of public meetings right around the country run by the Labour Party. And in those, we've had speakers from Marriage Equality, speakers who themselves are gay or lesbian, from sporting, from the world of student politics. And we have hosted a very big meeting in Cork on Thursday night, which was packed out, and we're talking to people. What I meet as leader of the Labour Party is not just gay people who want the same level of equality as other Irish citizens, but I particularly meet the mothers and the fathers, sisters and brothers and friends and families of gay people. And what we're really asking is that the same rights should be extended to people who are gay and lesbian in respect of marriage. And I also think as well that people should, in fact, I suppose, be happy that gay people actually want to support the institution of marriage and express for couples who are in love, who want a lifelong commitment, should express their confidence in marriage.
There's been some slippage in the polls, though, from the initial weeks, 6% or 6 percentage points, if you like, and this is not just the don't knows making up their minds. This is, if you look at it closely, this is the yes voter switching to no. A couple of possible reasons for that, but maybe that one is that the central plank of the No campaign, that passing this referendum will do away with the right of a child to have a mother and father, that that has traction, that that has a resonance with people that are worried about it.
Well, this referendum is about marriage, and it's about civil marriage. It does not impact, for instance, on how different religions carry out marriage ceremonies in this country. But just let me say this.
Well, could you address that point, which is the central plank of the No campaign?
Yeah, just let me say this. As a child, I was somebody who was adopted, and I had a lot of different parenting arrangements in my life until I found an adoptive family. It just seems strange to me that the primary issues around a child being brought up happily are to do with care, love, nurturing, and giving the child the possibility of developing whatever way they want to best develop. Now, I don't see that there's any distinction there between people who are heterosexual and between people who are gay. And just to say, in terms of Irish society, and everybody knows this, we have people who've been widowed and they're brought up by the mum or the dad, whoever remains after one of the parents has died. As I said, in my own case, and in the case of 50,000 children who were adopted in Ireland.
All right, but do you believe, like, let's put it this way then, all other things being equal, do you believe that the right place for a child is with a mother and father?
No, the right place for a child to be brought up is with, as far as possible, with the parents who love them.
I know.
Sorry,
I did work that into the question. It's specifically phrased to say, if all other things are equal, does a child have a better upbringing with a mother and a father than with any other combination? That's a yes or no.
I've known quite a few children brought up in gay relationships down the years, and all I can say is that the love, the care, the nurturing that people who are gay give to children is as good as anything given by people who are heterosexual. In fact, I think sometimes, because a parent may be gay, they perhaps are even more conscious of maybe being a role model, and therefore being extremely dedicated to their children.
Sure.
And bringing their children up.
And nobody doubts that, but you don't believe that the combination of a woman and a man looking after a child is necessarily better than two men or two women, all other things being equal?
All other things being equal, and from my own background, I think the critical thing is for a child being brought up to have parents and people who love them, nurture them and care for them. That's what works for children. And to suggest somehow or other that people who are gay or lesbian are less loving, less nurturing, less caring, I think...
No, I don't think anybody is suggesting that. They're saying
I think that's the implication.
In fairness to them, they're saying that the combined skills of a woman and a man offer more than what two women or two men can offer.
But that's their argument. Life works out differently for a lot of people. You know, a child is born maybe after their father has died. We know, for instance, in relation to people who were killed, let's say in the Easter Rising, quite a lot of children were born after the father had died, and in most cases it was the father in the events of Easter Week. And Easter Week and the proclamation looked to actually all of the children of the nation being equal, and this is about equality. Of course what happens to children in terms of their upbringing is vitally important, but that upbringing depends on whoever is looking after the child, and it's not always a parent. But whoever is looking after the child cares for, nurtures and loves that child. To me, that's always been the vital thing.
There are some people who would say that this is, if you like, yet another erosion of what you're attempting to do, is yet another erosion of the fundamental Catholic ethos of this country, and that it won't stop here, that this is, as a bishop said many years ago in relation to something else, the ravages of secular humanism. What next?
Well, I think that I'm certainly old enough to remember a time, you know, which younger people just look at you in amazement when you say that it wasn't possible, for instance, to women and to couples to have access to contraception except as some kind of a menstrual disorder and regulation of the menstrual cycle. We then had an issue where, in relation to divorce, if we had divorce, marriage as we knew it would fall apart and children would be deprived of father figures. We've had different debates as well down the years in relation to a whole series of changes in Ireland. It's part of a more inclusive society, a society which allows all its people to flourish in terms of their particular, in this case, sexual orientation.
Do you accept that people of deep faith and conviction are becoming increasingly alienated in this society? Well, they see it as a liberal agenda, and they would say surrogacy is next.
Well, let me say, I am happy to know many people of very deep faith and conviction, and many of those people are among the most generous and caring people that you could meet. I recognise that people of different religious faiths may have issues with this, but in the secular realm of the state, which is where the Constitution is at, what we provide, on the one hand, is for people freedom to express their religious convictions and views freely. But on the other hand, in terms of the laws of the state, we must provide equality before the law. This referendum is about civil marriage. It does not impact on the religious marriage ceremonies in any way of people of different religions and faith. But we are a republic, and we have to treat all the citizens of our republic, men and women and children, we have to give everybody equal treatment in a free republic as free citizens.
All right, Donna Shannon, would remind listeners that we have been hearing the campaign, if you like, for a yes vote. We'll be hearing and devoting equal time to the no campaign on next week's programme. Let's move on, Donna, to the issue of, firstly, public sector.
I've listened to a good number of the arguments on both sides. I've listened to a good number of speakers. I don't think I've ever listened to a better speaker than Joan Burton there. I think in terms of her reaching out to undecided voters, her tone, her pace, her mixture of personal experience and personal views, and her record in relation to what she's been doing over the last couple of weeks, is just fantastic. And I feel very moved and motivated by what she had to say today. And to be honest, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect her to be that good. But I'm very, very grateful to her. And I'm very, very moved. And thank you very much, Joan Burton.